Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Later on in the show, we'll be reflecting on today's Champions League action. But of course, there's only one place really that we can start today. And that's on the death of Diego Maradona, who of course died today at 60 years of age. Craig, it's always tough to try and do this in such a short time because there's so much to talk about when it comes to Maradona.
Because he was such a good player. I mean, that goes without saying, but you know, it's synonymous looking back at that England game, and I'm not saying that as a Scotsman, but the World Cup in Mexico, where he scored that tremendous, tremendous goal. And then there was the hand of God goal as well that has followed him around. But just his ability to play and also and what he was able to do in that era. Don't forget the laws of the game in that era were completely different. Defenders tried to kick lumps out of him and did, right? Pitches were terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible most of the time. Players wouldn't even train on them today. And yet he was able to manipulate the ball, a bit like Messi does now, but without the protection of the laws, without the beautiful pitches they have now, and he was still able to produce some of the most magical moments that we'll always remember.
Jürgen Klinsmann is with us as well, who was playing in Italy during Maradona's pomp, where he led Napoli, of course, to success. Jürgen, one of the best ever.
Well, absolutely. Diego Armando Maradona was one of the best ever. And this is a very, very sad day, a very sad moment for world football. He was a genius. He was a genius on the field. Obviously, he had many problems off the field afterwards and even during his career. But he was, for me, I mean, I admired him so often. He was, for me, an artist. He was somebody that did things that nobody else could do. And the way he led then, obviously, his Argentina to a World Cup triumph. But many, many moments that he lived through in Napoli made him unforgettable for everyone. He was one of the greatest ever.
Gab Marcotti, he really was a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, beyond what he achieved on the pitch, which is, as Jürgen and Craig said, is just tremendous. You know, you can imagine somebody coming along and maybe achieving something like that. I know it's hard to, but you, same way you can imagine somebody coming along and achieving what Pelé did or what Messi and Cristiano did. You know, we'll still be playing football 1,000 years from now. Somebody might come along and do that. But I don't know that if you take Maradona as a whole, there will ever be another Maradona. Somebody might emulate what he does on the pitch, but his charisma, his persona, the resonance that he had around the world beyond football, I can't see anybody ever matching it in the way he matched it, in the way he lived his life. And, you know, for better and often for worse, he lived his life to the fullest.
And Jürgen, you were in one of those unique situations where you got to see him not only close up, but play against him.
Yeah, and it was like getting lessons from a master artist. You know, I played a European Cup final against him. I played with Germany, Argentina, the 90 World Cup final against him, where we had to man mark him to kind of keep him under control. He was just full of creativity. He was just inventful. He was just, you never knew what he was doing the next moment. And he got so much stick. He was continuously fouled, hammered by defenders, by midfielders. So everybody was chasing him. And he always found solutions. Maradona was a genius in finding solutions on the field. The goals that he scored were so creative. Were just it's just unique. He was just unique.
The best of his generation, Craig, without question.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt when you can carry. And that's been a criticism that some, not me, but some have had of Messi, that Maradona carried his country at times to that success. But you look back at the training grounds, the videos, the YouTube clips, the pitches, what he was brought up in, to be able to do what he did as a player under those circumstances, while every man and his dog was trying to half him in two. Mm. And I'll repeat that, the players these days have great protection with the laws of the game. He didn't have that luxury, but still was able to give us so many moments. And let's not forget the expectation that was on his shoulders for a decade plus was absolutely immense. And he was able to, for the most part, handle that.
As I mentioned at the start, it's impossible to do justice in 5 minutes. It's impossible to do justice over a whole show. But we've tried to do that. There is a special ESPN FC tribute to Diego Maradona show. Check your local listings for times there as we pay tribute to one of the greatest ever players.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
In the Champions League today, the big game was in Italy. Inter Milan taking on Real Madrid. And it'll be Zinedine Zidane's side who would take all 3 points back to Spain with a 2-0 victory over an Inter team who really struggled throughout this tie. Remember, this is a Real Madrid team without Karim Benzema, without Sergio Ramos. In the end, Craig, they didn't need them.
No, they didn't need them, but it didn't help that, that Vidal was sent off stupidly for berating referee Anthony.
The right decision?
Yeah, because you can't do that. And whether he was upset that the penalty wasn't given and it was a close call, but they had a good look at it, he was booked for dissent. And then within 5 seconds, he's back in the face of the referee again. And that, as a former player, that if you get that close to a referee, the chances are he's going to react. And he did. Second yellow, off. Inter then had a good spell at the start of the second half, actually, with 10 men. And then Real Madrid scored the second. It was game over. This was a game they had to win. They've got to go now. They've got 2 games left. It's looking unlikely they're going to be going through because they go to Gladbach for the next game and then they're at home to Shakhtar. Borussia Mönchengladbach are a more than decent side and that's not a given that they're going to go there and be able to get a result. So Antonio Conte's side looks like it could potentially be the Europa League again.
Ali Moreno joins us. Ali, we've been harsh, haven't we, on Real Madrid, and rightly so, but they pulled a performance out when it was needed today.
Yes, they did. And even before the red card happened, I thought that Real Madrid were far better than Inter. To the point to where you just saw full control through the midfield with Cruz and Modric, and then Lucas Vazquez helping defensively, Martin Odegaard just serving as a link, and Eden Hazard sometimes drifting inside. And you just saw a team that was fully in control through that middle area of the field. And in doing that, Inter just didn't have any sort of answers. They didn't have any sort of connection to Lautaro Martinez or Romelu Lukaku for long stretches of time in the first half. Even at previous to the red, you just saw Real Madrid build the momentum, really carrying the possession, really carrying the pace of the game, and Inter was merely reacting to that. I thought it was a flat performance. When you needed a little bit of life and energy and urgency from Inter, it just wasn't there. A little bit of life early on in the second half, and that was about it. Real Madrid far the superior team, and they deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, Jurgen, what was wrong with Inter today?
Yeah, very good question. Obviously, it was not enough to put Real Madrid into any danger. And Real controlled the game from the beginning on, and after the red card of Arturo Vidal, they looked the whole game like the certain winner. It comes in a very delicate moment right now for my old team, because obviously in a in a normal Serie A league, they're fighting their way through. They haven't taken on a rhythm yet, and the expectations are very, very high in Milano. The people, the Nerazzurri, they expect a championship. Winning the title ahead of Juve, because that's far too long since it happened the last time. And they were expecting big, big things from the Champions League. So now it looks really kind of ugly if they can go through in the Champions League. And that will create only more uncertainty around Inter Milan right now.
It's just 2 points in the opening 4 matches, Gab. How much trouble could Antonio Conte be in?
I think he should be in a lot of trouble. Because look, there's no escaping this. Inter pushed out the boat for him. They made decisions that, you know, will put their financial fair play situation in jeopardy. And of course, they've already been in trouble with it before. You know, he wanted Eriksen. He got Eriksen. He doesn't like Eriksen now. He said, I go to war with Vidal. Get me Vidal. Get me Vidal. We've been hearing this, you know, since he walked in the door. They get him Vidal. You all saw what happened tonight. And it's always the same message. We need more intensity. We need more ferocity. Blah, 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 blah. Look, yeah. Is any team better if they're more intense out there? Sure. But either they're not listening to you or that message isn't getting through. And how about you work on all the other things? You know, as Ali said, the connection with the front two, this belief that Barella can play in the hole. You know, Barella is a phenomenal footballer. That's just not his position. How about less Gagliardini, more Barella in his position, and find a system that works? You know, it's not, nobody came down from Mount Olympus saying that it's written in stone that you have to play this formation if you don't have the players to do it. It's disappointing all around. Vidal will get a lot of the blame, but I think the screws are going to turn on Conte a little bit. And, you know, what's saving him is that he has an enormous contract and it would be extremely expensive to let him go. So I think he's going to get every chance to make up for it. But, you know, nights like this really are incredibly deflating for everybody.
As Craig mentioned, Inter in serious trouble. Just those 2 points then, with two matches to go. Ali, it's difficult to paint any sort of positive picture to suggest that Inter are going to qualify from this group.
Positive picture? Good luck with that if you're Inter. There is nothing to grab onto. There is nothing from what we have seen from them in this group stage that you say, you know what, they're going to get it right in this last couple of games. Let's not forget that Borussia Mönchengladbach, they were 2 minutes away from beating Inter the first time around. They were also a couple of minutes away from beating Real Madrid. If you look at the totality of the work of Borussia Mönchengladbach, they are unbeaten and all wins so far this group. And so to then say, yeah, you know what? Inter is going to beat Mönchengladbach. Yeah, they're going to do it. How? When? Where do you get that from? And the evidence that we have seen, is this team in Inter a team you can trust? I think the answer right now is no.
Jürgen, you take a look at the team that started today. They're good players within that side, aren't they? They should be performing a lot better. So you look at it and you feel the buck does stop with Conte.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the roster really looks like a Champions team roster in sense of you can win the Serie A, you can win the Scudetto, and you can go far in the Champions League. That's on the paper. You know, if you go player by player, I think what we saw today was a performance that kind of showed the real problem. The real problem is chemistry. Mm. Chemistry, I think, you know, where people help each other on the field, where, you know, you have some leaders, if it's the more experienced players, taking things in their own matter. Obviously, it doesn't help if one of your so-called leader then gets a red card, you know, with two yellows for complaining and getting in the face of the referee, which was... it's just not acceptable at all. So the biggest issue right now for Conte and for Inter Milan is the spirit and the chemistry of this group, because the group is good enough to win titles, but they need to stick their heads together. Maybe they need to go out in a bar and have a couple of beers, which is a bit of a problem during COVID times, obviously. But there's a lot of work to get done to get them in the right path again.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, I thought you would like that idea.
That was a 1990s idea.
Yeah, I thought that would get you going.
They've got two wins in the last 10 games. Okay, there's a load of draws in there as well. But as Gab said, that's not going to get it done. Mm. They've got Sassuolo coming up, who've had a great start to the season.
Yeah.
Then they go to Germany to play Gladbach, who are a good side, we've all said that. And it's not going to cut for Inter. I mean, there are issues if they wanted to get rid of him that Gab pointed out. But clearly this is one of the most high-profile jobs in Italian football. And he's kicked and he's spat and he's put his fist down to get what he wants. And now the Inter hierarchy will want back what they want, which is better performances from highly paid players in the big elite competitions. And he's going to have to be the man that turns it around. And if it means getting away from this, you know, draconian system that he's sometimes playing, and I'm not saying it's a draconian system, but they play it in a kind of turgid, pedestrian style. It's not a flowing 3-4-3 or 3-5-2. And he might have to change to save his job, because we know how they can be so in Italy. They'll just cut you.
Yeah.
You know, they'll just sack you in a notice and they'll bring somebody else in. And there's a question mark at the moment whether he's going to be able to turn this ship around.
Gab, quickly, last point on this.
No, simply that he's got to make it work. It's all on him. I think his reputation is now at stake because the reasons are wearing thin on everybody. He got everything that he wanted. Now, as Craig said, it's time to perform. It's, you know, go to the toilet or get off the pot, simply put.
Thank you for that, Gab. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Elsewhere in the Champions League, Liverpool's perfect record was blown apart by Atalanta, beating Jurgen Klopp's side by 2-0. A thoroughly convincing performance from the visitors. Craig, Liverpool nowhere near their best today. It was pretty much, you could say it was a B team. So in that fact, is it a big deal?
I don't think it will turn out to be a big deal in the bigger scheme of things. They're not done. They could have almost sugarcoated it tonight, their qualification. It still probably will happen, but it's just been made a little bit more difficult now. But he made choices, Jurgen Klopp. You know, he left Fabinho and Diego Jota and Andy Robertson and Firmino on the bench, and that was his choice. And Atalanta, after being smashed by Liverpool only a week or two ago, responded well, and they took their opportunity. And they've now thrown their hat back in the mix with Ajax. Yeah. It's as simple as that.
Shaka Hislop joins us for the first time on the show. Shaka, you're watching this game. How concerned should Liverpool fans be?
I don't think they'll be overly concerned given the changes that Jurgen Klopp made. And in the end, I think it was inexperienced defending that cost them. Let's not take anything away from Atalanta here, who I think themselves played up against Liverpool pretty well. Sat deep, didn't allow for the counter-attack. Didn't play on the front foot as much as you'd normally expect from Atalanta. The only real concern is that with Ajax winning, both Atalanta and Ajax are now within touching distance. Liverpool are the top of the table. But given Liverpool's last two games against Ajax and Midtjylland, you don't see that as being an issue for them, at the very least getting through. Still favourites to top the group. A loss, but not really that much of a concern.
Gab, Atalanta very much giving themselves a lifeline in this group.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we know this about Atalanta. It can be feast or famine when they play against better opponents. You saw that last year against City. But, of course, as we said, Liverpool had a ton of absences. I mean, they had a ton of absences in the first leg as well. The only thing I would just be slightly concerned about is that, you know, you kind of lost your margin for error here. Should something go wrong, should you lose to Ajax or, God forbid, to Michelin, all of a sudden qualification is out of your hand. And it's not as if all the injured guys, you know, it's not like they're all coming back tomorrow either.
Ian Dark joins us as well. Ian, your takeaway from this?
Well, he picked a pretty weakened team, didn't he, with six changes. And I think in an ideal world, Liverpool wanted to win tonight, put the whole Champions League group to bed. Then they can rest players for the last two Champions League days. As the boys have been saying, there's now no margin for error. If they mess it up against Ajax next midweek, suddenly the alarm bells are really ringing. I've never seen Liverpool look as punchless as that at Anfield. They never looked like scoring tonight. It was a tremendous performance by Atalanta, who thoroughly deserved it. So Jurgen Klopp doesn't get many things wrong, but I think he probably did get it a bit wrong tonight.
But you just feel that he's one of the main managers who is irked by this condensed schedule, and I'm not pointing fingers.
We saw the rant, didn't we, after?
Yes, and it's not pointing the fingers so much at UEFA, but he was pointing fingers at the Premier League and at broadcasters. And yes, he's out front and one of the most focused on managers, but he does seem particularly irked about you know, all these games have been crammed together. And so then he's had this, you know, I don't know if it's a knee-jerk reaction, but he's made a decision to drop players. And it's just made life a little bit more difficult, because now he's going to have to bring the guys back that maybe he wanted to give more rest to, and he's going to have to play them to make sure they get the qualification. Mm. So it's kind of defeated the purpose a little bit, rather than getting a stronger team out tonight, early on, getting a result, or trying to get a result, then giving the players a rest.
Well, let's just take a look at how the group stands. Liverpool remain top on 9 points. It's then 7 points apiece then for Ajax and Atalanta. Who have you got going through, Shaka?
I still think it's going to be Liverpool and Atalanta to go through. I think Liverpool will get 6 points in the next two, and that puts Ajax a little bit behind the eight ball. I fancy Atalanta to sneak into second.
Gab, do you agree?
Yeah, it's also what I'd like to see as well. So, but
well,
yeah,
that shouldn't matter.
I think with Liverpool needing a result, like I said, and Liverpool, look, let's not forget, in recent years, Liverpool have left it very, very late to go through. This is not something new with Jurgen Klopp's teams, but I think he's going to want to do everything to avoid that. And so I'm going to go Liverpool and Atalanta.
Ian, who do you want to see go through? Michelin?
No, I agree with the others. I think it will be Liverpool and Atalanta. And the result Atalanta got tonight, on that alone almost, they deserve to be in the knockout stages. They did so well last year, I remember, too.
Well, just a reminder, the Gab and Jules podcast, the latest episode, will drop on Thursday. Be sure to go over to the website and download it. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
But a surprise in Group A today. Atletico Madrid, of course, flying high in La Liga, could only manage a goalless draw against Lokomotiv. Meanwhile, Bayern remained perfect after a 3-1 victory against Salzburg. Finally, we'll wrap things up by just focusing on Manchester City's group. City with a 1-0 win away against Olympiacos, guaranteeing them a place in the next round. Meanwhile, Porto also through to knockout stages with a 2-0 victory over Marseille. Shaka, I know you were keeping a close eye on Manchester City. It felt like one of those games yet again from Pep Guardiola's side in which they should have scored 4 or 5, yet they only win by 1.
Yeah, and that's the thing for City, and that's been their story pretty much all season. In fairness, Olympiacos just tried to defend and hope that they'd get something on the break. They nearly did late on. But other than that, they didn't offer an awful lot to trouble Edison. City's goal was very well worked, very well taken by Foden. But other than that, as you say, Dan, City kind of control the game, control all the possession, but haven't been able to rack up big score lines as we become used to. I guess maybe you're smiling that Aguero played 12 minutes to end the game, but aside from that, got the job done, not a lot else to celebrate.
Yeah, that's it. That's the positive, obviously, the win and Kun Aguero returning, Ian, because we know how desperately they've missed him.
Yeah, and they've got some games coming up that they'd expect to pocket the 3 points from and close the gap in the Premier League. I think they've got Burnley at home this week. They've got Fulham at home coming up as well. And with respect to those two teams, City would expect to win. If they don't start scoring goals, though, like they were used to doing, like they were winning 4-0, 5-0, even 6-0, 8-0, those kind of scores. But their shot conversion rate this season is 8%. That is the lowest since Pep Guardiola took over. And there's been a bit of a drop in intensity about them as well. But whatever their problems in the Premier League, they've got it done and done very well in the Champions League, haven't they?
Yeah, they have indeed. Perfect in the Champions League. Could you argue, Craig, they're more likely to win the Champions League than they are the Premier League?
Probably not. I don't know.
Why not?
Well, they haven't shown that yet. So what I would say is they don't do 1-0s very well. Not like 1-0 to the Arsenal in the old days, but they were solid defensively. And as Ian said, they need goals. They need goals, but they need to put some momentum together. They go to Porto next, and then they have Marseille.
Yeah.
They haven't won this group. They're qualified, but they haven't won this group.
They pretty much won it. They'll be all right.
They go to Porto in the next game. That's not a given. They're 3 points behind them.
Yeah.
They haven't won the group. No?
Is that what you're picking me up on? Did I say they won the group?
No, no, you said we've pretty much won the group, and I'm saying they go to Porto,
yes,
and Porto win, they're going 12 points, and yes, then City play Marseille.
Yes, they've lost 12
points. Correct me if I'm wrong, but City haven't been playing particularly well of late.
That's it. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.